Good morning, Dr. Amina Attar, and welcome to our studio.
Good morning to you too. Thank you.
You're visiting Sustainable Livelihood Institute, yes?
Yes.
What is the primary cause of that visit?
It's about 5 years, like I had visited with Ram at SLI, and we had started as a wellness consultant. So as I've been traveling, Ram asked me, can you just stop by and see our module, like how we can move forward on sustainable livelihood for women, especially these women with the, you know, like beauty tech consultants and all other things. I said, okay, let me do something. And I stopped by working with women from last 15 years, how they can help themselves, like with the concept of look beautiful inside out.
Otherwise, you are a doctor, yeah?
I graduated as Unani medicine, then I did my PhD in public health.
What is Unani medicine?
Unani medicine, like, it's a long story, you know, it's brief. We could go on with the manuscripts and a lot of things. But we had this in India, like Ayurveda, Ayush system of medicine, Ayurveda, Unani, and that's how we went on to a stream, like, you have Unani medicine there. But all these medical systems, like traditional Indian medicine, is just now getting more and more saturated. We don't get enough of raw materials for the practice.
Like, you mean the herbs?
Yeah, the herbs. But Unani was more with the minerals, gemstones, because they were all from the Silk Route. As you cross Uzbekistan and then the Xinjiang province, and then you come from the northern part. It was the Turks who carried Unani medicine to India. And so the major formulations had all these gems and pearls and rubies, because these were available there. Like how India is rich with herbs, they are rich with these gems and pearls. And how would you practice with all this when it's so costly to be available?
How do you do it?
I do it like with herbs and other things. And now I visited the Xinjiang province, and I was like surprised where I could, you know, weigh pearls, like kilograms, like how we weigh amla here. Amla was costly like pearls there, but the pearls were cheaper like amla there. You know, it was so interesting for me. I picked up some, and I know the imports and the exports, that's a packet there. But when we give the real extracts, even now we have those species of the plants. The ones like Lycerus glabra, then you have ashwagandha, all of them, the process of extraction, like the distillery, what we call it as arkhiyat, that is giving good effect. So that's what is how I'm practicing. I'm teaching women how to analyze their temperament, which temperament they are, what they have to eat, how they have to sleep, what they have to wear, and then change their lifestyle changes with whatever they have around themselves.
So it's similar than Ayurveda with basic
types? We could not say it's like Ayurveda or Unani, it's similar or different. It's a lifestyle. Ayurveda evolved around the Indus Valley civilization. Right? We had the civilizations like Mesopotamian civilization, the Egyptian civilization, and the Indus Valley civilization. But no more, it's a civilization now. It's everything fabricated. Even if you try to say, this lady has a temperament of phlegmatic, but she may not have born with a phlegmatic temperament. She must have born with a choleric temperament. But because of the lifestyle changes in the food, what she is having, her temperament has changed. The aircon has made her more lazy and senile, you know, like phlegmatic there. When she comes back in the fresh air, she will be the same person. Also, when they are born, what climate, where they're living, how many people evolved around, and a lot of things.
It's very complex. Like, Unani medicine can be applied in today?
Yes, I'm doing it. I'm practicing.
Like
it.
In cities?
I'm teaching those. Yeah, cities. I practice in Germany with Unani medicine.
Yeah, you live in Germany for quite
a
time, no?
4 years.
Oh, 4 years. So it's not so long.
It's not so long. It's not so short, and it's not so long too.
You practice also with the women in Germany?
Yes.
How do they respond to something like that?
They love it because I spend around 2 hours for consultation with the women. I do the live blood cell analysis, iridology, and then the temperamental analysis, pulse diagnosis, and I design their own tailor-made personalized healthcare. Like, you just see, even as we were having the workshop yesterday, we had a set of 19 women, all of them had 19 different temperaments. At the end, I gave them like a sheet of paper and asked them just to put something yesterday, today and tomorrow. And it was just like alarming to see how they've just sketched in few minutes with a pen what they had. Their psychological stress is leading to their gynecological problems.
It's connected, no?
Yes. So whether it is Ayurveda, Unani, or whatever it is, we need to see the person itself, the personalized healthcare, where we can have, okay, this is the graph. This is how her lifestyle is. This is how she's going on with the stress. And this could be her next, whatever the deformity or whatever we say, ill health. So that is what we are terming it as predictive diagnosis. And then you go on with the preventive healthcare. But now as it's a scientific world, we have the predictive diagnosis with DNA analysis and gene pooling.
Okay, that's more scientific for now.
That's scientific for now. But they don't want to believe what they don't see.
How do you mean?
Like even the kids, if you say, okay, if you eat this, you're going to get this. How? Why? When? Right?
Yeah, more empiric people, right?
Or so there have been so much pushed with all these kinds of, what do you call, the micronuclear techniques and a lot of stuff. Day before yesterday, we were at Trichy, Mahatma Gandhi Institute, where this is the only institute in the world. They don't use animals for toxicological studies. They're doing it on the cells. And it was so beautiful that Dr. Akbar Bashir demonstrated one cell hydra, how it reacts to different media of vitamin C. And how does a lung cancer cell look? How does a normal cell look? And how this is? When the younger generation see this, they know what's happening with their body. They know what they're doing. Everyone. One of the workshop, like when I've been talking with the ladies, I asked them, how many times do you see your face in the mirror? They say, only to put the bindi. Just, they know how to comb the hair. And
yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
Yes, because these villages, they have the small mirror packed on the wall, you know. They just had only, okay, where is it there? But even that they don't need. They just know with the prayers and they just put it up there. So what we I decided to do was get a mirror, a long mirror, put it in a room. I asked them, go inside, see yourself naked and come out.
They did it.
And for them, it was something which was a shock. It was a sin. It was everything. Like, you could imagine their expressions. I said, no, go inside. Be you yourself, see your body, and then you come out. Somebody is seeing, and, you know, there's nobody seeing your whole body as such. And it was really tough for me to convince them to see themselves.
You mean the villagers from the women from the villages of Tamil Nadu?
Yeah, not only Tamil Nadu, like 15 years in and around Bangalore, Karnataka. I have done workshops from Kashmir to Kalyakumari, like 3 months, like wherever I've been trying to do this. And this one started in 2003. Even now, it's almost 13 years from 2003 to 2016. Even now, like last week, I had a workshop in a village. It's the same condition that they don't look at themselves at all. Right? Yeah, we are speaking about medication, we are speaking about, but forget about the clothing. They buy their undergarments like once in 5 years.
But as far as I know, many of them also don't wear them.
Yes.
They don't have underwear.
No.
They just wear skirts and the plastic sari, and I was looking at it, I said, man, I would be getting sick really in that kind of clothes.
Like, we are not talking about this rural women. Look at the urban women. They are ready to buy something of a shirt which is thousands, but they buy an underwear and a bra just like once in 2 years. Like, we just don't think. 8 years, 9 years, and 10 years, the girl is attaining a menarche. She gets a bra there at that time. And how can we think, I mean, she has to wear that for next 4 years.
But the boobs get bigger.
Yes. And you're stuffing in and in and in. And what's happening?
But that is, I think it's also connected with the position women got in the Indian society, because they're really suppressed. But they do most of the
work.
No.
We had our grandmothers who used to stitch our innerwear with a very fine cotton or linen cloth. They used to stitch by the hand. The grandmother would stitch it for the granddaughters or the daughters. I mean, it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a linen cotton cloth. As you wash, it just gets torn out.
That's really
right?
good.
That was there. But there is a huge gap of last 15 years which is missing.
Mm.
Right? There were these grandmothers talking to these granddaughters about their menstrual health, even before the marriage, about the virginity and everything.
No, they don't anymore.
Now, there's this huge gap.
What happened?
And this internet system, because there is no bond between the mother and the daughter.
That's not very, very healthy.
Yeah. And now, if we are going to say, okay, don't eat this, don't eat this, don't eat this. But the basic is there's no bonding.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gap. Whatever this girl wants, she immediately goes on the Google or IT or whichever portal it is, where it's a half story.
Mm.
Like now, what I am right now. I cannot say, okay, across this wall there's something. Like today, I'm teaching the women how to make a few cosmetics for their wellness consultants. So I have to feel comfortable. I said, okay, let me put on the t-shirt and, you know, this loose things.
Yeah.
I said, okay, let me put on the shirt. I can just take off my shirt and I can put it. I'm making myself comfortable for accommodating. But these women, whether they like it or not, they have to wear what they don't like. They have to eat what they don't like to eat. And not to mention this, they have to sleep with the person whom they don't want to sleep.
Arranged marriages.
Yes, not only arranged marriages, even love marriages. Like, I can truly understand, but there's so many things. But where is all this mental well-being going? We visited a school yesterday in the city, and there were a set of primary school teachers. I can show you the picture of it. They're all just standing cramped like this, you know? Like as if somebody is going to takes a gun and shoot off all of them together. And when I said that, the kids of class grade 1, they're just 5 and a half, they're saying it's so difficult to manage. Hyperactive. Why are they hyperactive? Why are they not calm?
But there also in the world the increase of, so to say, children with special needs, either hyperactive or attention deficit disorder, then Asperger syndrome, autism, is increasing. It's probably connected with the lifestyle we have.
Yes.
It's connected with the food we eat.
Yes.
And it's connected also with the evolution of the humankind somehow.
Yeah. You don't see the calmness in the mother when she's pregnant. Like, she's always stressed.
Mm.
And what is happening with the baby inside?
It's also stressed, of course.
It's also stressed. And the baby is born, you puff, and there are so many of them coming, just looking at it, putting on all the kinds of suggestions they can.
Mm.
And then what are they feeding the baby? Are they feeding the calming? We had a beautiful diet of yogurt, which is a probiotic.
Mm.
But where is yogurt lost? Most of the cities, you don't find this yogurt which is being prepared, the curd, what we say. It's rich of probiotics, which was prepared at home. You have this marketed stuffs of packets. Even in a small place, like, you know, just going on the...
In the village here.
Village, sure. You get it.
It's
so forget about the cities.
Antibiotics, preservatives and so forth.
Yeah, frozen
desert.
Because
it lasts like 6 months and then it was like, you know, curd lasts 2-3 days. Somewhere.
The more sore it is, the more of probiotics it has. That's where the women were getting their probiotics, and they did not have this irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm.
Now they have irritable bowel syndrome, then you have the sari, then they are just congesting inside. So they have a lot of air built in, and they have the premenstrual syndrome, and it's all like a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
What they are having at 8, 9 and 10 is moving, accumulating. Apart from that, they want to fare well in their exams and whatever it is. They want to visit a temple. They want to go for fasting. because of the social stigma that they have the periods they cannot go, they just switch on and switch off the periods like a remote control. The contraceptives are available in a PHC. Pick it up, take it for 15 days, and what's happening after that? They are spoiling the kitchen of their body.
Contraception, I mean, they do regulate the, let's say, the population growth, but from my personal experience, they are really damaging on so many levels that it's crazy.
Imagine a girl of 8 years, she's seen her cousin or mother or somebody who has taken these tablets to postpone the periods. She just goes to the PHC. Even she don't have to go to a PHC. She can just go to a pharmacy and say, give me Sunday, Monday tablet, because it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday written on the strip.
That is written there?
Yeah, it's written there. So she says, give me Sunday, Monday tablet, 4 tablets, 2 rupees. That's it. This is why in 2000 I started health education for the schools. 15 years, I'm back on the same ground, level zero. Last 3 months, I'm struggling to prepare a module where Mrs. Shalini Rajneesh, the Principal Health Secretary of Karnataka, she wants to make health education mandatory. How we teach them. I try to talk to them and say, look, when you take something, it's as simple as this. You have a kitchen at home. You have the sanitation pipe going out. You block outside, first part gets blocked, it smells little. Second, more and more and more, it gets blocked. You're spoiling the kitchen.
Totally, of course.
So this is what you're doing with your body. Now, you have the reverse hormonal regurgitation, just they don't want to get the periods. They are blocking the outflow. Then I teach them with role plays what actually a menstrual cycle is. Give them the example of hen's egg. The white part of it is the discharge. The yellow is the one. And it's not the blood which is coming out. It is the unfertilized egg which comes out. And that's where I work out.
As far as I also know, there's no sex education in schools, no?
Yeah, but that's what I want to differentiate between sex education and health education.
But it's connected, no?
It's connected. They immediately, when I say about menstrual health education, they say, oh, you want to do sex education. Being a Muslim from the Muslim community, I had the toughest time. I couldn't hold a workshop in a Muslim school. So there were about 17, all kind, this learned men, what we say. They say, we want to see what you want to present. I took 6 months. I went on to the Quran and I read, I got the interpretations and everything. I came back and they were all the men. I was not married. I was just like young in 2000. They asked me to present and I'm just standing there and they were just shamelessly looking at me, you know. And then after that I said, okay, can you please write it down that I can do the workshops in Muslim schools? I said, yeah, we will see. I said, no, write it down. So because there were 15 of these people, it becomes a fatwa. So I was the one who took the fatwa to do the health education. From there I carried on. There were a lot of things. Even after 15 years, from 2000 to 2016, again I see the same, I'm standing in the same place.
Do you ever visit back the work, the places where you give a workshop?
Yes.
So the women follow?
Yeah, of course they follow. They start. They call me.
Then you can see the change or not.
Yes,
no?
They call me and they say, "Today we had the festival. We did not postpone the periods. We are wearing a new dress. My mother allowed me to go out, wear a new dress. So I'm not taking this." They recognize me. Like 15 years, they're married. They have kids. They recognize me and they say, "Thank you so much for convincing our parents." Like menstruation is not a taboo. We could go cycling. We could do this. And also the women, they do recognize me. And they revert back to me and say, thank you so much. That's just that tamarind juice, what you advised, helped us a lot. Preparing, like asking them to prepare tampons from neem oil for their vaginitis, candidiasis and all other stuff. Like small things. That's where we have to focus.
Did you have any workshop in Europe?
Yeah.
Only with mostly women or also
no,
with
your, everywhere.
With everywhere.
With everywhere.
So what is the common, because we are not raised up with not talking about the we are aware, we are actually educated, we have a sexual and health education in schools, so we are not somehow...
Even in Europe, it's the same with women.
It's the same.
Even though they speak openly about their sexual activities, but still they have the same stress. They are independent. If they don't have their strength in their sexual activity, they don't have a boyfriend. So they are insecure if they're not healthy.
Wait, you said if they don't have strength in a sexual activity, what that means?
Means like if they cannot compatible with the boyfriends in the sexual activity, they lose the boyfriend.
What do you mean by that?
The thing is, okay, like here in India, you're married, you're sticking on.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a security, there's a man, he's going to take care even if she's not working.
Mm-hmm.
But what I observed in Europe is, if she is satisfying sexually, they both are compatible and staying together. There's this missing of emotional bonding between the women of 35 and 45. So they come down to me, ask me if we can give them Ayurveda as an aphrodisiac to manage their stress and burnout and everything because they don't want to lose the boyfriend. It's a different kind of a world.
No. The way I just, if I try to remember how it was amongst my peers some years back, it's not about compatibility or losing the boyfriend. It's usually people get bored of each other. They don't know how to re-establish a bond again, and usually he starts cheating, she starts cheating, so it's not...
But here what's happening is the premenopausal syndrome has shifted to 35 because of stress.
Really?
And because of premenopausal syndrome, there is atrophic vaginitis.
Uh-huh.
And they are looking forward for methods for having more sex. Like, they are not able... They have this sweatings and, you know, a bloating of the abdomen. What would happen around 40 and 45 is now around 35 and 40.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's where is a big pull now.
Women in menopause, they are sexually active as some of them. I know some of them, they're more active than they were when in their 20s.
Yes.
So I don't get it.
Yeah, it's quite different. It depends on their own personal psychology.
Oh.
That's the why we started working out on a herb from Malaysia, Kashif Fatima, which is an estrogen supplement through the vaginal route. And when I started giving them these ones, like initially for the observation study, I put one of the lady on this. The next day, you hardly know in Germany, like somebody would scream loud and come and give a hug. Next day, I was for a morning walk and she started screaming from there, came hugging and kissing, and I was wondering what happened. It was like an earthquake for me because out of 3 years in Germany, somebody like that with a loud sound in the morning by a German woman. I said, whatever you gave last night was excellent and it's after a long time and this. It's like, okay. So then they spend a lot on these kind of products than cosmetics. They want the sexual health. That's why when they come to India, they want all these Ayurvedic aphrodisiac products, and which are not compatible to both men and women.
No, of course not. We are not the same.
Yeah.
We have the same hormones, but in a different balance and different quantities. And the way we are really like from either from Venus or from Mars. So it's, you cannot take the same thing as the guy in the thing.
Yeah.
It wouldn't help me.
Like, 36 years I'm in India, right? Mm. I've lived in India now just 4 years. I have lactose intolerance, I have gluten intolerance, I cannot eat meat, and I'm a vegetarian, and I really need fish every day.
Mm.
Because I'm living alone and I'm accommodated to this kind of psychological aura around me. So imagine those who are born there, who are genetically, ethnically from Europe. How can you give them these Ayurvedic products? Just pump them in. The same way with even the Indian women. There are so many cosmetics coming down. Whitening. We are born with brown skin.
It's totally ridiculous.
Why do we need to whiten when we are born with a brown skin?
It goes about self-esteem. And it's also when it comes to, you were saying, referring to the seeing the naked body, the... I think the age of technology and those ideas of Barbie dolls, you know, they are so devastating to Western culture, starting there with eating disorders and all kind of things, self-esteem totally down. But it's not so bad as it's here, because I also know that I think the surrounding villages are really one of the highest ones in suicide in girls.
Yeah. They are so sensitive, like you cannot comment on their beauty. They want to be compared to a film star, like a Bollywood star.
It's too ridiculous.
But every girl is unique. That's what I try to say. Look beautiful inside out. You are you. You cannot change that. And if you're not accepting what you are, then you're questioning the Creator. Where is the faith? There's no point in praying. There's no point in, because you first accept how you are. Don't try to change your skin. Don't try to change your lips. Don't try to change your hair. You accept how you are created. That is the first appreciation you give to your Creator.
Yep.
Yes.
You're supposed to.
But every day you're questioning the Creator and you then go and pray. So what's the use?
That's true. And the West people don't pray for that.
Yeah.
Unani medicine is for everybody or just for the Muslims?
Because no,
somebody told me that you're going to be the first Unani physician in Europe.
Yeah, it's for everybody.
It's for everybody.
Because Unani, the Unani is an Arabic word for Greece.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Hippocrates, the same Hippocratic medicine.
Unani means Greece.
Yes, Unani means Greece.
Oh.
So it's Hippocrates. Oh, Yunnan.
Yeah.
Right? So Greece. So it was Hippocrates, the same Hippocratic principles we have, the same humoral theory, then Ibn Sina, like Avicenna things.
Yeah.
All this canon of medicine was translated by Culpeper.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Culpeper's things came up to the modern medicine, right? 1909, when the first penicillin was discovered, that's whole the story changed. So it's like the European medicine itself. It's not much. Like whatever I used to read in the book, I say, what is this? This is what I read. It's just a weed there.
Mm.
Like dandelion, lavender, chamomile, all these are the weeds in Europe. And here they are so costly like medicine. So for me, practicing is not so difficult.
Yeah, but chamomile and those things, they grow there. They don't grow in India, no? But there are certain things which grows here, but they don't grow there. But so I think it's still wiser to take the things which are there.
Yes, that's what I do.
Because you accommodate with them than those who
also
are here.
Especially the hydrotherapy there, because of the gas water, what they drink in Europe, you know, the carbonated water, what you...
I mean, sodas.
Yeah, the sodas. Here you have the still water. There hardly you find the still water in Germany. I mean, we just open the tap and we drink water in Germany.
Yeah.
And here, as the minute I'm running to the tap, my mother comes running behind me to stop me.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the difference. Like, you need hydrotherapy there, colon therapy. You have different set of things there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have different set of things here. So this is the whole Silk Route. Like, I traveled Uzbekistan, then Turkey, the whole Silk Route. I just traveled. Yeah, I've traveled and I've seen how it is. Like,
you traveled to Balkan?
Yeah, yeah. Samarkand. Samarkand, Tashkent, and then I went up to this Xinjiang province.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you went up there? Okay.
Yeah, I went up there. I've been appointed as a Tanshan scholar for the Chinese government. So it's with the Xinjiang province. So it's the top layer. That's where I saw how the things have moved. How the you had the Great Wall of China stopping the Turks coming in, and then why did they stop? The Chinese, rich Chinese herbal tradition and the Indus Valley tradition was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then how the things have been absorbed, like give and take. Even now, turmeric is very costly in the Xinjiang province. Samarkand, Uzbekistan, you don't get black pepper, you don't get betel leaves, you don't get turmeric, you don't get amla, and they love to buy it. But they have enough of gold, silver, rubies, pearls. That's why the Silk Route came up.
Okay. Yeah, the exchange of this and that.
The golden fruit is mango. They love mangoes. Then you have pineapples. Golden root is turmeric. Golden flower, sunflower. All this comes from the subcontinent, the South Asian countries.
How would women, for example, a woman who didn't go to your workshop but would like to be healthy, what would be your suggestion to her? What to do?
I would just like suggest identify yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have cravings, like you like to eat something, you like to drink something. That's what your body is demanding. Not only when the lady is pregnant, like she likes to eat some things. Only at that time you observe. But rest of the time, you see some of the women, they like potatoes. Mm-hmm. Some of them like oranges. Some of them like plums. This gives an alarm that your body needs this. Like you love to eat bananas. That means your body wants magnesium.
And potassium, right?
Yes, and potassium. Your body itself is demanding. It's just like the small kids, you know. They just go pick on and eat what the body is demanding.
So to listen to our bodies, right?
Yes, listen to your body. And first, do for yourself. Take care of yourself, dress for yourself, eat for yourself. Then you think, if you are not strong, how will you give the support to the whole family? I'll show you some of the sketchings, you know, like it will be amazing for you to see in just 10 minutes. Like one lady, she has put a water level body till here, then there is a boat, and then there are two kids here. Just the line is marking here. Just what she meant, like here you have the ocean. This is a sailing, what she's attending the workshop. Yep. And then next day, she has to take care of the family.
And she's depleted of dehydrated.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah,
so, sure. So just a few thoughts. And then I was speaking according when they are born and other things. They have a different set of it. It's not astrology. That's where the Indian strength was.
Mm-hmm.
When you're born, they took the stars and other things. But that shows which part of the body is affected. Yesterday, I was saying you're born, you're a Scorpio, and you have this symptoms. She was like, do you know astrology? What's my future? You know, I'm just telling her what she was afraid to speak about from last so many years. And there's all of a sudden somebody there who's saying, this is what you're facing. They said, how do you know? Yeah, because this is how the things were designed. Avicenna had put up the temperament, put up the environment, put up the climates, four seasons, four temperaments, then colors, so four basic colors. You see, the basic things were there. Each of you don't see everybody we all like white, but somebody like pure white, somebody like half white. It depends on their temperament. And it's you do what you like. Not because your husband wants you to wear blue, you wear blue.
Does husband demands what to wear for them?
Of course, they choose their clothing.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah.
I just noticed there's a day, most of the people do wear, there's a day they wear red, then is a day when they wear green.
Yes.
Or purple.
Yes. It's all also according to the menstrual cycle.
Everybody
when they have the menstrual cycle. Color. Okay, right. Okay, fine. But most of the clothing, this is something, scarf, other things, if I want to buy this, she has to convince her husband why she wants this. Even now, most of the women are having this. The daughters have to convince their parents. The women have to convince their husbands or whoever it is why she likes this. They don't check. For me, I know this person likes this. I would love to buy that.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't check what they like. So, you can imagine the stress. She's wearing the color what she has to wear just because her husband likes that color. They may be two different temperaments.
I guess there's not much communication in those marriages, no?
No. No communication between the families, communication between the parents and the children. And the worst is between the in-laws, and it's like a taboo, and every day, every stressed, even the food is cooked, this is not right, that's not right. They want to show that they are on an upper level.
Hmm.
Even if they like to eat, they stop.
That is crazy, a little bit, no?
Lot to think.
No, I'm just trying to refer to where I come from. And it's actually, I think it's stress for everybody, and partially the idols which are given to us through the mass media. Secondly, it's not like here, but in Europe, most people do work 10 hours or even 2 jobs, so you don't have much time.
Like I do when I'm in Germany.
You do choose by yourself.
Yes.
And you.
When I'm in Germany, I don't know if I'm a human being or a robot. just go straight, get into the train, just go and come back. And just like Saturday and Sunday, you have to finish your laundry, you have to finish your grocery, you have to do, because there's no way to do. Here, you if you don't have the grocery, you can just get it.
Here's different, yeah.
Yeah, but in Germany, Saturday by 6, if I don't get the grocery on Sunday, I don't have anything to eat. And you know, we'd have only those things. We don't have so much of marketed stuff in Germany. You have the same peppers, same, you know, potatoes, tomatoes, carrot.
You mean from the supermarket? Choice.
Yeah, the same.
But it's Aldi, all genetically yeah. modified, and it's all the craft thing, yeah? Yes.
So when I go from India, my bag is with vegetables. The whole luggage bag is with vegetables.
You live in Düsseldorf, no?
Yeah, I live in
Düsseldorf. That's in the middle of the industry.
Yes. I live in the Ruhrgebiet area, Kestrel-Broxel, which is near Düsseldorf. So
but then there you can find a vegetable market, no?
Yeah, we find the vegetable markets, but the ones what we get here, the lady's finger and greens and a lot of stuff.
You can get lady's fingers there too?
Yeah, but they are not. The ones what we don't even think here is the ones what we get there.
Okay, it's the same as, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not grown there, it's brought there yes. from here or from
just West just for example, somewhere. I'm used to the German bread. If I don't have bread, I don't feel like I had breakfast.
It's conditioned, yeah.
Yeah. So especially the German bread.
The dark one?
The dark
bread,
one. Yeah, the bread. Yeah.
But it's... The brown bread. It's connected with the climate as well because you cannot eat... meat as it's eaten in winter time in Europe, you cannot eat it here because you will get sick.
We cannot eat here. And what we eat here, we cannot eat there. Like what I eat in Bangalore, I cannot eat in Pondicherry.
What do you eat in Bangalore? Wait, no. Yeah. What do you eat in Bangalore?
Bangalore, salads in the morning, like sprouts in the morning.
Mm.
Then afternoon salads, and in the evening I take a bit of rice. Like, we used to eat a lot of rice. Now I take a cup of rice and I try to eat chapati and a little bit of curry, and I'll always be sweating and crying. So
what are you eating in Pondicherry?
Pondicherry, we had good breakfast today morning, muesli and fruits and idli and the other stuff. Yesterday evening we had pasta and fish at the beach.
Mm.
So I'm just like, wherever I find fish, I run.
Mm. Okay, so you are here only for a short visit?
Yeah, and I'm leaving tomorrow. Evening.
You're only working with the Sustainable Livelihood Institute. Are you planning to do any workshop with also the children of Oroville?
For sure we can do, but maybe I come back. We can get connected. I can share the module on the health education, the simple tips for the kids, how to know what health is like. Just a small one. You have two papers, like A4 size, like this. Ask the kid to put a little water on the hand, put it on the paper. Then wash and put it on the other paper.
Mm.
When you hold both, the one with the few drops, you can see the stains on the paper.
Yeah.
And the other one is clean.
Yeah.
So you can just say this is what you do to yourself by keeping your hands clean.
Oh.
So this, like this, you have simple ones. The other one, asking them about brushing of the teeth and other things. Two chalk pieces. Dip one with sugar syrup or attach a chocolate to it, and the other one plain. Leave it at the window. The next day morning, you can see the one which was dipped with the sugars eaten by the ant.
Mm.
The other one is just the same. So this gives a message that you need to brush your teeth before you sleep.
That's for the small children, right?
Yeah, that's for the small children. This is what I love to do with the primary kids.
What about the teenage girls?
Teenage girls, I love to play with them like a role play and then teach them about the menstrual cycle and what is the kind of a touch and how to avoid it, how they have to do the breathing exercise to calm themselves down, and why is there they have the tenderness in the breast. It's all like a role play, like a one day workshop. I'm doing this in Germany with the Rathaus. That's the Mayor Hall. I mean, you know, the Rathaus is the Mayor Hall. And when I just there, they said, we have to take the police clearance that you're going to deal with the teenage kids. I said, police clearance, okay.
Yeah,
so that's how I've got the clearance and all other stuff.
So you have any idea where is the increase of hyperactivity and those type of things?
Yeah.
It's connected with food or?
Food. It's exactly the food. nothing. It's just the food. Like, everybody asks me, I'm staying alone 4 years. How do you stay alone? I say, look, with salads and other things, do you think I get a sexual arousal with the salads and the raw vegetables I eat?
Why not?
It's a sattvic diet, you know. You don't need it's coming down.
You don't need avocado.
But I have trained myself to calm myself down. So train yourself.
Oh, you on purposely did it. Oh, okay. That's
yeah, because you have so much of work. You have so much to do that you don't have mind to think. Some of the women come and ask and say, okay, they eat the same food, the man and the women. The man can go out and satisfy, and the woman has to suffer. Why? That's what they're asking me from last. One lady, she almost like saying, we know each other from, I'm 7 years old, and he had me all these years. Now I want him, and he's not giving me. So if I'm masturbating, so am I sick mentally? That's what she's asking me. And how am I going to explain this to her parents, to her thing?
You said she's how old? 70?
She is 36 years old.
36, yeah.
At the age of 7, she started to be with her cousin, and they got married when she was 16.
With a cousin?
With a cousin. The cousin brother. They were together. They got married. So she says maybe they started the sexual activity when they were 8 years, when she was 8 years old. And he was about 12 or 13. And they were married when she was 14 and he was...
In Europe?
Here in Bangalore.
Oh, here. Oh, okay.
And when she was 14 and he was 18, they were married. They have 2 children. And now last 2 years, like, they don't have a sexual relationship. She's saying, now I want.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, now she is 36. Now she wants.
That's the prime time for the women, no?
Yeah. So, and he's not giving me. And if I'm masturbating... Do you think I'm doing anything wrong? She's asking me. So they are putting her in all kinds of saying she's under a spell of black magic, a ghost.
Spell of black magic?
Yeah.
No, it's a normal sexual appetite. What's wrong with that? I mean, okay, it's... You said you can drain down yourself, not to be aroused of nothing, but it's that is on purpose, yeah? But if the woman is living with a husband, like a normal, it's also the sexual life is part of the life, no?
Yeah.
I mean, we do know, I can see a lot of frustrated women because of the lackness of sex activities.
Yes, and they're damaging the sexual parts.
Hmm. So why would you deny something like that? I mean...
That's what is the thing. Now I'm putting her on perversion, you know. First I need to... clear the harm she has done to her body, and then I have to allow her to think and calm herself.
Hmm.
We need only counseling between the couple. Apart from that, I cannot do anything much.
That's right.
So I've just put her on a basic coconut milk powder along with saffron to calm down. If I ask her to take coconut or coconut milk, it will not register in her brain. So coconut is the one which calms down. The tender coconut or the white coconut
milk.
That's
coming down.
That's coming down. Mm-hmm. The temperament is cold and dry. It calms down.
Mm-hmm.
So if I ask her to take coconut milk, she will not take. So what I did, I got the coconut milk powder, added saffron to it, and I've given to her to drink every night before she sleeps 1 spoon of it with 1 cup of milk.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks, she's calming down and she comes to me and says, thank you so much for your medicine. So.
That's not You have a lot of fun, no?
Yeah, lots of fun. And sometimes I'm just like a cat, you know, looking what's happening, you know, what's happening. Okay, I get drained out. I cannot see more than 4 women in a week. In Germany, I literally cannot because I have to check them out, do the counseling, then prepare the recipes. So not more than 4 women in a week. In India, like all of a sudden they knock at the door, they start pouring in and pouring in and pouring in. And one of my friends asked, are you a dustbin of emotions? I said, if they pour, let them pour. They pour in and pour in and pour in. Mm. And after a few days, I just see them over the street. They walk off as they don't recognize me. Because they're afraid, like what they poured in would come out next to the person who is walking with them.
Mm.
And then they call me back, missed call or something. I say, no, we were there with the mother-in-law. I said, I can understand. So when they come to me, I say, even if you don't recognize me on the street, I'm fine. I just tell them straight away and I don't feel bad. And even if they say, I just feel, okay, she's a stranger. I don't even show that, okay, she had met.
You ever had a problem in a society, especially here in India, that the men would turn towards you? I mean, that they would try to ban you?
Of course. Because of my Western dress and because of my attitude. Like last few weeks, everyone is asking, you're 40, but you don't look like 40. And I know what the tantrums are throwing on me. They just try to walk and they just try to touch and go.
They do it to you?
Of course. Because I'm in a Western dress. They think that I'm living in Germany. Some of them even easily ask me, okay, do you drink? I say, no, I don't drink. I don't smoke. Oh, but you're in Germany. What do you think? If I'm in Germany, do you think that I drink and smoke every day? They think I'm living in Germany, so I go out with the nightclubs. I said, what?
But then again, why not?
Yeah, but that's a taboo they have.
What is, I couldn't figure out in all these almost 10 years, why do they always do have a tendency to brush, you know, like...
I just asked them, what are you going to get by just brushing there? If you want something, go.
No, I mean, like, you know...
I don't know. I just don't know what... They just, you know, like, somehow you're just standing and they'll just be brushing.
Yeah, but why they do that?
It gets so irritated and cramped, you know.
Because they don't do it to the ladies in saris.
Yeah. They don't do it to the ladies they know. They just... There's a newcomer, there's a foreigner there. They like to do that. They think that... We, just because we're living abroad, we're open for this brushing. But we don't have it in Europe, you know.
No, of course not.
It's like, it was so strange when I went first to Germany, you know. For me, it was, I'm so free, I'm so secure there. Like, I can change my clothes in the train. I don't have the problem. If I'm just, that's just where I just put on the shirt and the t-shirt. I'm just going to take off my shirt and I have my t-shirt because...
Yeah, of course.
I'm teaching the women how to make their small little oils and other things for their thing. But here, no. You need to put on something. You have to be with that the whole day, whether you like it or not.
That's a culture, I think. And as far as I know, it's not even Indian culture. Part of it was brought in by colonizers because they were ashamed to see a breast, naked breast.
You see, the European women, they never show this power,
no.
The tummy. They wear it up till here, or they wear from here, but they always have close this portion.
This is like your inner thing, you know?
Yes, this is something like inner thing. That's why when this one is showcased in the Bollywood thing, they ask me, do you wear every day like that? I said, no, even I'm closed. Especially the umbilicals, they like to keep it closed. And here you have a sari and that's shown.
But I don't have problem, the men don't have problem with that. For them, it's not arousing if they see the bellies.
Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Amita, I think it's enough for today, lots of information.
Okay.
Hope you will have a workshop for our girls.
Sure, we plan it.
For the children?
We do it in December because there will be some time. I'm staying here for another... Like, I put up a letter to Kiran Bedi today because I want her to make this as mandatory, like how we're trying in Karnataka. Hopefully, I get to meet her today evening.
Who is she? Sorry, but
she's the governor of Pondicherry.
Ah, okay.
Mrs. Dr. Kiran Bedi. Hopefully, she gets a call.
You don't have TV, you don't follow the politics, then I don't know.
Even I don't.
So, you're meeting her today and you're trying to
do
the mandatory.
To make it mandatory, the health education in Pondicherry, because I felt it was an alarm after seeing yesterday. I hopefully. Try get to meet her today evening and I explain to her and maybe I come back and we have a workshop in Aroville for the girls. How many girls do you have, teenage girls?
The population is 2,000, yeah? So half of them are Indians, about 700 other nations. Our kids, I think they're about 300 to 500, so like half of them would be girls, or a little bit more than a half.
We need even for the boys, not only for the girls.
I think so.
Yeah,
but and there's not much of sexual education in the schools. They have something which is called ATB, but not directly connected.
We can do it during December, you know, you have the Christmas vacations. Probably I plan for 3 days and I'll be connected with you and we just see how we can do it.
No, I think you have to connect with the SAR and the teacher center.
Oh,
the schools.
I just ask her.
Yeah, which is next door.
Okay.
Thank you. Have
Thank
a
you so
nice
much.
Day and see you next time.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.